Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. You all got exactly the right card for you. So when I decided to bring the cards today, I knew that exactly the right people would come and get exactly the right card for you. That's the way it works. So one of the things that I'd invite you to do is something that I heard Abraham say recently. When bad things happen, she mentioned about this, someone who was sitting in the hot seat. And she said the best way to identify and to relate to an experience that's unhappy for you or that you are not expecting is to stop for a minute and to say, huh, I didn't know that was in my vibration. Because we only attract that which is in our vibration. And so, unknowingly, I brought the cards tonight not knowing who was going to get which card, but certainly you got exactly the right card for you. So as you leave today, I'd invite you to maintain some connection to that card because there is something in that card that is aligned with your vibration. So thank you all for coming tonight. I spoke in October about the law of attraction, and some people gave me some very nice feedback, and they suggested that I come back after talking a little bit about what law of attraction was and come back and talk about how to do it. And I smiled when I was asked that, because we're already doing it. We're doing it every minute of every day. We are attracting what comes into our lives. And you may be happy with what you're attracting. It may bring you joy. And you may not be happy with what you're attracting. And it's bringing you sadness or despair or whatever the case might be. So my title today is that there's no secret to this. And a lot of people are turned on to the law of attraction because of the book and the movie The Secret. And it's interesting when Esther talks about The Secret movie because she chuckles and says, well, there is no secret. It's not really a secret. It's a law, just like the law of gravity. I had a friend recently tell me that she kind of believes in the law of attraction when it's working, and then when it's not working for her, then she doesn't believe in it. And I thought, wow, I wonder how that would work with gravity. Well, gravity works except right here, and then it doesn't work. So what I'd like to do today is to sort of give you an overview of some things that you can do which will help you attract more of what you consciously think you'd like to have in your life. Because many times we're attracting things unconsciously, and we're not exactly sure where they're coming from. So that's kind of my focus today. And by the time we get to the end, I'll give you some very specific ideas about some things you can practice that will help you draw more of what you want into your life and perhaps bring you more joy. So the first thing I'd like to do is start with a meditation. So if you'd find a place of comfort, if you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering in the world, then eliminate all that is dark and negative in yourself. Truly, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. I inaugurate peace. I call upon peace to raise my soul, gather it up, store it up, stand upon it, send it forth. Generations before called upon peace, gathered it up, stored it up, stood for it, sent it forth. Let the winds of ignorance, greed, and hatred howl. We call upon peace to rise. Generations before brought forth light from their bones. Radiance of marrow. What is most alive will always rise. We inaugurate peace. And so it is. (Clears throat) Last year, at about this time, I had my first opportunity to speak about the law of attraction in Grand Rapids to a networking group. And I wasn't in a relationship at the time, and I started to want to focus on having a better relationship come into my life. And so I looked at some of the things the law of attraction suggested I do in order to bring someone into my life that I would feel was aligned with my vibration and what I wanted. And so one of the things that it suggests, which we'll talk about at the end of my talk, is what's called 21 and 21, where I come up with some sort of affirmation that I want to manifest, and I write it 21 times for 21 days. And either at the end or sometimes during that process, you'll start to see a little bit of movement toward whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. So here's my 21 and 21 that I started on March 26th of last year. And my affirmation was, I am in a loving, exclusive, respectful, ultimate relationship. Intimate relationship. I'm in a loving, exclusive, respectful, intimate relationship. And so I wrote that 21 times for 21 days. Started on March 26th. On April 7th, Friday, day 8, I went to a dance at Hawk Hollow. And I was dancing and usually having a good time, as I normally do, and I looked over at one of the tables and I saw someone that looked interesting to me, and I thought I would go over and ask her to dance, so I did. And when we started dancing, I realized that I had met her the year before when I was in a relationship with someone else, and she was in a relationship with someone else. And that was on day 8. And she's sitting over there working my camera right now. So if you want to ask me if it works, I'm going to tell you it does. Okay. We're both in the process right now of writing 21 for 21. I'm doing three of them simultaneously. And she's just finished one and is doing another one. And one of the things that we've learned in that process, which I will indicate to you at the end, is when you write that letter or write that sentence or write that statement, it's important to include the words, I am. Somehow we have a sort of relationship with that in this fellowship, don't we? The I am. And so as I write that, it helps me to realize that this is something that's connecting me to my source, that I am that source, that that source is me. So that will be some direction that I would add for you at the end of the process. But the key piece that I want to start with around that is that the I am is now. It's now. It's now. There's only now. It's now. So we live in a consecutive moments of now. And yet, most of us spend our lives not in the now, but in the then. So last year when I did this, that was then. When Mary asked me to come and speak today, that was 2 months ago, that was in the then, in the future. And most of the time, most of us are living in the then, or the then. The then, this is what happened to me. Or the then, this is where I'm going to be, or what I'm going to do. And we're not focused on the now, the right now. Now, one of the things that we have become more conscious of in the last month or so is the importance of meditation, but also the importance of mindfulness. And how much mindfulness do you put into your routine during your day? Maybe you get up and start getting ready to go to work or go out and do whatever it is you're going to do, and you get in the shower and you do your shower routine and you dry yourself off and you brush your teeth and you brush your hair and you get your clothes. How much of that is really mindful on your part? Are you really focusing on brushing your teeth when you're actually brushing your teeth? Or are you thinking about what you're going to wear, what you have to do when you get to work, or whatever the case might be? And here you are in that moment, and you could be enjoying that experience instead of being in the zen. Or maybe you're reflecting on something negatively that happened to you yesterday, and you're wondering how you're going to do this, or you know somebody's coming in to talk to you at work because they have an issue, and you're kind of getting yourself hyped up or ready for that, or whatever the case might be, because of something that happened last week. So my challenge to you is to become more mindful of the moment that you're in, which is always the moment you're in. There's never another moment. You're never in there, or you're never in there. But if that's where we focus our attention, we're pulling ourselves away from our vibration. And remember, that's one of the things I talked about last time, was here's my vibrational escrow, here's my vibration that I'm creating, and here I am over here, and the more I can get close to that vibration, the more that's going to come into my life. And the further I am from that vibration, the less likely what I want to manifest and who I want to meet and how much money I want to draw in or what house I want to live in or the job I want, much less likely you're going to get that the further you get from your vibration. So I was reading, picked up a book in the library at Fellowship. Stuart Wilde was one of my favorite mentors. He was Australian. He was the Wayne Dyer of Australia. And he's passed into the non-physical, but he's written some really interesting books. I listened to some VHSs, I think they were called, back in the day. And he's written a very readable, quick little book here. When I'm finished, I'll put it back in the library if you want to come and get it. And he has this to say about the universal law of attraction. It's impartial and unemotional. It has no way of knowing what you want, nor does it discriminate between your hopes and your aspirations, likes and dislikes. It is pure energy. It accepts whatever thoughts, feelings, and actions you project and reflects them back to you, unemotionally, in the form of events that you experience day to day. And he uses a great metaphor, and those of you that know me well know I think everything in the world is metaphors. So it's a great metaphor for me. He describes the universal law as a shipping clerk. A shipping clerk. And if you think about a shipping clerk, someone places an order, and the order has to go through the shipping clerk before it's delivered. Okay? The shipping clerk doesn't care who made the order. The shipping clerk doesn't care what the person's going to use the order for. The shipping clerk just passes it on. And that's the way the law of attraction works. There's no judgment. There's no discernment. It simply says, this is what I'm thinking, and it passes that on to reality, to my nows. In daily life, your feelings, thoughts, and attitudes are your order form. So before you change your present conditions, you'll have to be very sure of what you want from life. It might not be exactly what you thought you wanted, and you better be ready for the consequences. Exactly. So put that into the now. Okay. You're all here now. And everything that has happened in your life since you came into the physical form has brought you here now. However you're feeling, whatever's going on in your life, where you're living, who's in your life, what relationships you have, what jobs you've had or haven't had, whatever it is that's happened to you in all the years since you came into the physical brought you here today. For whatever reason that is. I would like to think it's because you wanted to know a little bit more about this. So, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about some of the teachers and some of the lessons that I've learned over the years. One of them, recently, you maybe were aware that Dr. Michael Rice was in town and he did some workshops. I think he came and spoke here. This is one of the books he wrote called Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And I don't really need to tell you everything in the book. Just stick with the title. Why is this happening to me again? Okay. And you have the answer. Because that's where your vibration is attracting. That's what your vibration is attracting. And until you can identify that and begin to clear it out, it'll keep happening for you. So a little more story about me. I've been married 3 times. I'm adopted at birth, so I don't know who my birth mother was. I had a wonderful set of parents that I grew up with. And I married, married, and married. And after the 3rd marriage, I sat down with my piece of paper and I drew some columns. And here was wife A, and here was wife B, and here was wife C. And I wrote down the characteristics of them. Where they grew up, how many brothers and sisters they had, what kind of education did they have, what kinds of background. I'll write all these things down. And I looked at them and I went, oh my God, they're almost all identical. And they're all my mom. And I was like, whoa! And so what I realized was that as I was growing up and I learned how to be me from my parents and from the circumstances that I grew up in, all of the things that I manifested and created in my life, that the way that I was being treated was a way that was aligned with my vibration. And this is the way I thought I needed to be in relationship with a female. And so, unbeknownst to me, I went out, met these women, married them, they married me, and by the time the relationship was over, I realized that I was replicating those same messages that I had gotten from my mom. And so I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. Became a little bit more aware of it, got in a relationship with a woman, and moved to Chicago. And very different vibration than I'd been used to. And experienced that relationship. It ended up similarly to the other relationships I had. And so when I moved back to Michigan, I said, I really need to do something different here. I really want to find someone that I can share my life with that's going to be a part of a new vibration that I want to create. And so I got in a relationship last year. And what I learned in that relationship was the contrast that Abraham talks about. That it wasn't a very enjoyable, pleasurable, fun, exciting relationship, and yet I stayed in it, and I stayed in it, and I stayed in it, and people said to me, what are you doing? You're not happy. It's not working. Why are you staying in it? And I said, I know that there's something here I have to learn. And I'm going to stay with it until I learn it. And I finally got it. I finally figured out what it was. And it was a wonderful experience for me because I, in a very real sense, as Abraham talks about, jumped into the contrast. Because everything that happened there showed me what I don't want in a relationship. And I stuck around long enough to realize what that was. Because that's the way it works in the law of attraction. So I can give you some ideas and you can go do your 21 and 21 or do any of the other things that you want to talk about. But ultimately, as you get more joyful and things start coming into your life that you want, and you start to feel that vibration getting closer and closer, contrast will come into your life. And the purpose of contrast is to show you what you don't want. And so the best piece of information I can give you today about this is that everything is contrast or joy. Every moment is both. Not an either or. That's not the way the universe works. It's not a duality. Every experience is both what you want and what you don't want. Because if you're really happy, then you know what's creating that joy for you and you know you don't want something else. But if you are doing something and it's not bringing you any joy, you know what would give you the joy. So in the same moment, in the now, you're getting both. The universe is sending you both of those pieces of information. This is what I'm joyful and this is what I don't want because it's not joyful. So the key becomes then, how do we move to that place where we can sort of focus on both the joy and the non-joy, that the duality that we have. So So I want to talk a little bit about this particular book that I found last year when I was looking for some law of attraction stuff. And it's not by Abraham. It's not law of attraction. It's called The Master Key System by Charles Hanel. And in this, he goes through the entire book providing, let's see, how many different parts does he have in here? 24, okay. And each one's about 10 or 12 pages. And he gives you some keys about how to get more in touch with the universal law that he talks about here. And I just want to share a couple of them with you because I think that they're useful in helping us to understand how this works. Let's see if I can find one. All experiences in life are the result of our own habitual or predominant mental attitudes. All experiences in life are the result of our habitual or predominant mental attitude. The secret of all power, all achievement, and all possession depends upon our method of thinking. We had a chance to watch a video that Wayne Dyer did for public TV about 10 years ago. And in that talk, he was talking about what he called memes back then, before there were memes on the internet. And he called those the patterns of thinking that we grow up with and that are sort of imprinted on our mind or in our psyche about things that we just think are true but aren't. So I'll tell you a couple little stories, and maybe some of these you'll remember these. They're not original, but they're little sayings that will help you understand this piece. There was a newlywed couple that was getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, and the husband was helping the wife in the kitchen, and she got the ham, and she cut the end off the ham and put it in the pan and put it in the oven. And he said to her, "Why'd you cut the end off the ham?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. That's what my mom did." Okay, well, let's call up mom and find out. So called up mom and she said, "Hey, we're putting the ham in the oven and, you know, I cut off the end of the pan like you do and we're just wondering why you did that." And she said, "I don't know. That's what my mom did." So they called grandma. I said, "Grandma, we're making our ham for Thanksgiving dinner and I'm getting it ready and I cut off the end of the ham and put it in the pan and I asked mom and she does the same thing and so we're asking you, why did you cut off the end of the pan?" And she said, "My pan wasn't big enough." Okay. So the second little story. Man walks down the street, having a nice day. Everything's going pretty well, and he falls in a hole. And the hole's so deep, he can't get out. And he has to figure out how to do it. And he tries climbing. He can't quite get out of the hole. And finally, after much effort and exertion, he figures out how to get out of the hole, and on he goes. And the next day, he walks down the same street and falls in the same hole again. Has the same issues and the same problems, can't figure out how to get out of the hole. Finally figures it out, remembers what happened yesterday, climbs himself and gets out of the hole. And this goes on and on for a few days. And finally he decides, you know what? I've kind of figured out how to fall in that hole, but maybe today I'm just going to walk around the hole. Thought that might be a good idea. And so he started walking down the street and there was the hole. And he said, "Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to walk around the hole." And he didn't fall in. And then he decided, maybe I'm just going to walk down a different street. And the last one is that I know some people in here will understand and relate to. Third story is a man falls into the hole and he doesn't know how to get out. He can't figure it out. He tries and tries and can't figure it out. And somebody walks by and he says, "Hey, help. Can you help me? Can you help me?" He says, "Oh, no, I'm too busy. I've got to keep going." And he's screaming, "Help me, help me." And a priest comes by. He says, "Oh, Father, can you help me get out of the hole?" And the father says, "Bless you, my son. I hope it all works out for you." And the third man comes and says, "Hey, I'm stuck in the hole. Can you help me get out?" And the man jumps in the hole with him. He says, "What are you doing? Now we're both in the hole." And the guy says, "I know how to get out." So those are some stories about this pattern of thinking that we develop. And if one of those patterns of thinking is, I'm going to keep getting into marriages that are like my mom, or I'm going to keep walking down that same street and falling into that same hole, then I'm not going to be able to get to that place of moving my vibration closer to my non-physical self. Our future is entirely within our control. It is not at the mercy of any capricious or uncertain external power. You all have your songbooks with you, right? Let's pull out our songbooks and go to page 3. We're all going to read this together, okay? We're not going to sing it. We're just going to read it. Read it out loud. Are we ready? Our thoughts have power. Our words have power. The things we think and say create our state of mind. Imagination, what we envision, will tell the mastermind what we would like to find. We have the power. We have the wisdom. We have the senses that will help create the vision. Let's use our mind at full capacity to make our world a better place to be. So, what to do? Some specific things that you can do. I mentioned the 21 and 21. That's a good one. Again, phrase the sentence as if it was already happening. I am this. Write it. And as Esther says, as Abraham says, but it's not true. And she says, fake it till you make it. Just keep writing it, and it'll come true. Okay? So that's one way to do it. Stuart Wilde does have some steps in his book, which I would recommend that you take a look at. Meditation is one that Abraham is stuck on right now. If you listen to the YouTube tapes that she's been doing currently from 2017 and 2018, she is really on everybody doing a 15-minute meditation, preferably when you wake up in the morning, because she says that's the time to set your dial for the day. And if you wake up immediately and start getting on your phone and look at your email and things are rolling with family and kids or whatever the case might be, you're going to get caught up in that same old. And so take some time at the beginning of your day. Maybe 15 minutes is a stretch at the first part, but if you can sit there for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever the case might be, and begin to focus on being at peace with your breathing especially and being mindful of that. One of the things that that I've been doing the last couple of years, and people in here are aware of that, is building a vision board. I built a vision board for 2017, and I'm just created a new one for myself now. And what I do is just go through magazines, newspapers, whatever, find sayings or headlines or pictures that I want to manifest in 2018. I put those on a whiteboard, tape them or glue them, however you want to do it, and I put it up on my wall. And every morning when I wake up, I look at that, and it reminds me of what it is that I'm manifesting and that I want to bring into my life, and helps keep my rudder moving in the direction that I want to go. Breathing is an important one, and the people in the room who teach yoga and stretching or have been to that, you understand the importance of breathing in order to get in touch with whatever's going on in your body. And that is a great way, especially with the meditation, to move forward and move that vibration closer to that non-physical part of you. I have a final quote from Stuart that I'd like to share with you, if I can find the book now. He talks about understanding your personal power. And I'll give you a couple of examples here. I'm a powerful, positive individual, and all events in this day are for my highest good. That would be, write that 21 times in 21 days. You don't even have to make up your own. You can just go and find ones that other people have written down that you think are powerful for you. I see only beauty in all people who are pulled to me, and what I am strengthens and refreshes what they are. In all of these, he uses the phrase, I am. And for me, that's a key to helping you stay in touch with that particular vibration that you were trying to manifest. So, thank you all. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today about Law of Attraction. and namaste.
Namaste.